And I thought, boy, how beautiful she is. That's what I thought while she was singing. And she was. She still is. And but the main thing is her beauty inside has never changed. And I'm thankful for that. She's been a dear and a faithful wife. She blesses my heart when she sings. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Well, I know I'm on target. I know what we're doing must be the right thing, because the devil is doing everything he can to shut us down, doing everything he can to hinder. My family has been under attack a lot of ways, but especially with our health here recently. And a lot of uncertainty still with Donna and her health, and then with Sean and Cameron. Even though I don't know if you can tell, I'm moving pretty slowly this morning myself, but I've been down in my back for the last several days, and I'm fortunate that I'm able to stand before you this morning. And as long as I'm standing, I feel pretty good. So it's when I sit or lay and have to get up is when I really, really begin to have the pain. But anyway, just reminds us that we're doing the right thing when the devil tries to hinder and tries to rear his old ugly head up and try to disrupt. But with God's grace, we're going to keep on. Like Billy Sunday said, I'm going to fight him as long as I've got fist. I'm going to kick him as long as I've got feet. I'm going to bite him as long as I've got teeth. One of these days, like he said, we may be fistless and footless and toothless, and we're just going to keep going on to the glory of God as long as we can, fighting the devil. But I do want to bring another message this morning on the enemies of the cross of Christ and the enemies of the local church. Now this morning, be it made known that I'm not here to offend, upset anyone here by what I have to say today. But one thing you will, as believers in Christ, you will say, the preacher is right in what he's saying. Because what I share with you today will be right, and it's going to be biblical. Amen? We just need to follow God's Word. Philippians chapter number 3, stand with me. We want to begin reading in verse 15. We've read these verses. We keep reading them over. If I preach 7 weeks, every one of us ought to be able to quote these verses. Because they say if you read through something 7 times, you ought to be able to quote it. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And here we talk about the enemies, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. The Lord reminds us as Christians and as the church of God, there are many enemies out there, but this is what I like. Their day's coming. There's a payday for them. They're just like verse 19, whose end is destruction. There's coming an end to these enemies. God's day is coming. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And destruction is coming upon these enemies that we've talked about. Last week, I talked about a philosophy that our world has and this country has on political correctness. Week before that, I talked about secular or public education, of how these things can be an enemy of the cross of Christ, and they are, and an enemy of the local church. Today, I want to talk about this particular enemy, and it's one that has great influence over many churches today, over many denominations today, and that's what I would say is Hollywood. Hollywood today has a hold on many churches and many denominations. Now, when I talk about Hollywood, I'm not talking about the place, California, Hollywood, California. I'm talking about the mindset. I'm talking about the philosophy of what goes on out there. You know, Hollywood is known for its pictures, its movies, and all the things that go on around that, that go on around Hollywood. Of course, we know that Hollywood and the philosophy of it is completely anti-Christian. We see Hollywood's attack on the home and the family every day. Every time you turn a television on, there's an attack on the home and the family. There's an attack on traditional marriage in Hollywood. There's an attack on the decency and morality in our country and in our churches and around about. There's an attack on the Bible, the Word of God, the man of God. All of these things Hollywood is against. The motion picture industry, television industry is against these things. And I'm going to tell you, and it has great influence over the church. I'm going to talk today about the television for some part. But not only the television, there's another thing that I'm going to talk about because it's just as dangerous and brings just as much corruption into the local church. And that's this thing right here. Everybody, if I were to ask you here this morning, outside of a child or two, every one of you would say, yeah, I've got one of these. Have you got one? Amen. Yeah, we've all got them. And we can use them for good or we can use them for bad. That's just like the television set. Is there a sin in having a television set? No, there's no sin in having a television set. But it can become a sin. It can become a sin in our lives. Now, realize this. Some may have never heard a message like this before. But this was something that was common in your fundamental independent Baptist churches years ago. A preacher standing up and preaching on the dangers and the corruption of Hollywood and the movie industry and the television industry and the influence that it has in our homes and in our families and among our children. I'm going to share with you some statistics in a few moments. Modern statistic, things that will blow your mind when you begin to think of the corruption that goes on. But we've got to battle these things. We've got to battle this enemy. And we've got to learn to control it, or know this, it will control you. Is there anything good that comes out of Hollywood? I don't think so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and ask your blessing now upon this message. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 5, I've had this mark for some time. Wanted to bring a particular message on this verse, and I may down the road. But Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 11 says this, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God." Now remember here, the prophet Ezekiel was a contemporary of Jeremiah. All these things were transpiring. He prophesied during a time of the Babylonian captivity. And we know that there was great corruption in Israel at that time. A lot of idolatry that was going on. Look back in the book of Jeremiah. A lot of rebellion. Brother Ron talked about rebellion this morning in Sunday school. A lot of rebellion among the nation of Israel during this particular time. Refusal to follow God. Refusal to do what was right and what was decent. They said to ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And they said, we will not walk therein. And folks, that's what we're seeing today. We've got Christian people that attend our church and the preacher stands up and he brings the Word of God. And what do people do? They say, hey, we're not going to obey it. We're not going to do what the preacher says. I've shared with you a few instances here of some illustrations that I remember that a preacher had shared back years ago that said, hey, that parents told their children, hey, you don't have to do what that preacher says. I'm going to tell you, if I was a parent and the preacher was up there preaching the Word of God, and he was preaching it right from the Bible, I'm going to tell you, if my kids were to ask, hey, do I have to do what they say? Yes, you've got to obey it. My children would know that they were to obey the Word of God, and that they ought to respect the man of God. Sad to say, and that's what's happened, I've said before, sad to say, is the reason that so many men of God today have so little respect among their congregations and among people today is because they've been belittled, they've been put down in their homes, they've been talked about in their homes. And, when you go home on Sunday morning, after church service and have roast preacher, I'm going to tell you, your kids is going to grow up without a respect for the man of God. And the man of God needs to have your children's respect. I'm going to tell you, they respect what they see on the television. They respect what they look at here in their cell phone. I'm going to tell you this morning, what's on the internet is not the truth. I'll tell you that. Some people say, well, it's on the internet. I read the news every day. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of false news that goes on the internet. Don't believe it. Don't believe what Fox News, don't believe everything Fox News tells you. But he goes on to say, wherefore as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary. We're talking about the church here now. My sanctuary. He defiled my sanctuary. Notice what he says, with what? With thy detestable things and with thine abominations. I'm going to tell you, we have polluted God's house with an influence. We have polluted the church of the living God with the influence of Hollywood. With Hollywood. That's what's sad. It's sad to say that many churches today are patterning themselves after the Hollywood culture and what they see on TVs and at the movie house. Hollywood. What seems to be creeping in? I've talked about Jude and what he was talking about, warning that that these enemies would creep in unaware, perverting the grace of God, denying even the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are some of the things? The atmosphere has crept into our local church. Hollywood's atmosphere has crept in. I talked about it a few weeks ago. There's so many churches that have patterned themselves out. You walk into their churches and you don't have white lights, you've got black lights. The walls are painted dark, the ceiling is black. What does the Bible talk about blackness and darkness? It talks about wickedness and sin. Darkness is a picture of sin in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What are these churches doing? They're patterning themselves after Hollywood, and they look like a movie theater rather than the house of God. I'm going to tell you, when we come in the house of God, there ought to be light. There ought to be light to remind us that of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the light that you and I are to reflect in our spiritual life and in our walk for God. But I'm just saying, the atmosphere. They don't want you to. Modern church today and the philosophy has adopted and brought in that Hollywood culture to their congregation and that atmosphere to make you feel like, hey, I'm not in church. I'm here for a show. Folks, here, you're not here today for a show. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm here today to preach God's Word. That's what people need. People today have heard too many and watched too many shows. They need more preaching is what they need. And sad to say, that's what adopted. They have allowed the atmosphere of Hollywood to creep in. We find a second thing that they've allowed to creep in, and that's the attire or the fashion. The fashion. Do you know who sets the standard for fashion in this country? Hollywood. The movie industry. You see it on a show somewhere, the next thing you're going to find it is in the stores, and the next thing you're going to have it on, and you're going to be wearing it in the church. Now listen, I'm not against looking nice. I think ladies ought to look nice. I'm like old Dr. Bob Jones Jr. used to say. He said when it talks about makeup, now I realize there's denominations out there that are against makeup. I'm not against makeup. Dr. Bob Jr. used to say, he said, little paint on the barn never hurt it, did it? But it depends on how much paint you put on there, right? Sad to say, we've got some. Yet they look like clowns rather than people, don't they? The attire has crept in. The fashions of Hollywood have crept in. We've got to have the best of what this world has to desire. And if the trends of fashion go down, and that's why I say today is the fashion of today in the church is not what it was. Grunge dressing. Now I realize if you come in, and I've said this before, you come in with a pair of holy overalls, and that's the best you got, praise God for it. Or if you come in out of the field to get to the house of God and you got dirty clothes on, don't think a thing about it. You come right onto the house of God. There's nothing wrong with it. God looks not on the outward appearance, but on man's heart. Remember that. But at the same time, we ought to do our best when we come to the house of God in honoring God, should we not? So we're talking about things that have crept in, that Hollywood has brought in and has crept in to the sanctuaries that are detestable and abominations. We find here that the attitude of Hollywood has crept into our churches. The anti-Christian bigotry that we see, compromise, worldliness, toleration, all these things are things that Hollywood promotes and the picture industry and television promote. And we have brought those mindsets and those attitudes into our church. And it has defiled the sanctuary of God. It has polluted the sanctuary of God with the abominable things of this world. The attitudes. We have also adopted and allowed the addictions of Hollywood to creep into our local church. You realize today, drugs, alcohol. Hey, if you're a dope addict, I want you to come to church. If you're an alcoholic, I want you to come to the house of God. If you're a sex addict or a pervert, I want you to come to the house of God. If you're addicted on tobacco or pornography or any of those things, I want you to come to the house of God. But listen, I'm not going to tippy-toe around those issues. I'm going to preach, thus saith the word of God. Like it or not, I'm not going to condone it when I know about it. I'm not going to do as the Lord warned us in the book of Leviticus that I closed the service with last week of turning the other way. I'm not going to turn my head away from it when I know there's sin in the camp. Because when we as a church know that there are drugs in the church, there's alcohol in the church, there's things being done in the church that it go against to God's word, we have a responsibility to rise up against it. Look what happened to Achan. Achan in Joshua chapter number 7. He took a priestly garment, a wedge of gold, and a few shekels of silver when God told him not to. And what happened? God chastened not only him, but chastened the whole nation of Israel. In the first battle of Ai, there were 36 men that lost their life because of Achan's sin. And God's wrath and God's judgment was on the nation of Israel until Joshua dealt with the sin of Achan. And that's what God has placed me here to do. I deal with it. We deal with that sin. We do not allow it to go unnoticed and unpunished. But we've allowed these things have been acceptable in the church. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual addiction. These things are things that go on every day in our churches. And they're enemies. They're destroying the work of God, not destroying the true church, because the Bible said the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But it's destroying our churches. And then, of course, another thing of that are creeping into our local church, those abominable things from Hollywood. That is the homosexuality, the lesbianism, and the transgenderism that goes on. This is highly promoted in the Hollywood agenda. You turn on the television today and you can't turn and watch a program that doesn't have a transgender, a lesbian, or a homosexual that is a part of that program. And realize this, and this is something that I heard years ago as a young Christian on the dangers of television set. And the dangers of watching television. And folks, this right here has only escalated and magnified what goes on the television. What you can't watch on television, this is unlimited. And sad to say, children 5, 6, 7 years old have them. Television is still dangerous, folks, but this right here is one of the most dangerous things you can put in the hands of a young person. Amen. One of the most dangerous things you can put in the hands of a young person is that cell phone right there. And the access that they have. The Word of God reminds us as Christians in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 2 that we are not to learn the way of the heathen. In other words, we're not to follow the heathen. You say, preacher, you're talking about all the crowd in Hollywood? All the crowd that go in Hollywood, that are they all heathen? I can't say that. I can't say that everybody that lives in Hollywood is a heathen. There's some Christians out there. There's some saved individuals out there. There's probably a good fundamental church out there in that area. I don't know of it, but there could be. But I'm saying the mindset and the philosophy of Hollywood is heathenistic. It reminds me of a pagan culture, which is ungodly. And the Bible says we're not to learn that way. But what happens? What happens to Christians? Christians want to act like the folks that they see on the movie house. Churches want to model and pattern their churches after what they see on the television set, what they see on the movie screen, what they see on the internet. Bible says we're not to learn the way of the heathen. In fact, the Lord Jesus taught in the New Testament that we were not to do as the wicked Gentile nations did. In other words, we were not to follow their practices and their principles and their propaganda and everything that they had. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them. There's the admonishment there. We're to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And the Lord says, I will receive you. In other words, I'll bless you. We wonder sometimes why we don't have the blessing of God on our churches, our ministries, and on our personal life. It's because we have not yielded to personal and biblical separation that God admonishes us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, and to keep himself unspotted by the world. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, Paul says that we are to abstain from what? All appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. The world is creeping into our churches. How is it creeping into our churches? It is creeping through Hollywood movies, Hollywood literature, Hollywood mindset. Do you know what one of the most popular series of today is among young people in the movies and in literature, in book form? It's called Harry Potter. It's in our Christian homes. Our Christian parents buy the literature, buy the books, buy the movies. Sit there and watch it on television set. Do you know what all's in Harry Potter? Do you know? What about witchcraft? What about witchcraft? What does the Bible say about witchcraft? When I sit there and watch something like this, and I watch the witchcraft that's in there, am I promoting or condoning witchcraft? When I support that? Yeah. What about sorcery, which is another form of witchcraft? What about spiritism? Now realize here this morning, I'm not here for those of you that are here in our congregation this morning, I'm not here to offend you, upset you. I'm here to preach God's Word. I'm here to preach the whole counsel of God's work. As a pastor, I have a responsibility. And that's why Paul said that I am free from the blood of all men, for I have ceased not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I had a woman back years ago. Many years ago, I was pastoring my first church. Donna will know exactly who I'm talking about when I mention this. I was preaching on demonism and the symbolisms of demonism in that day and culture that we lived in back in the late 80s. This woman gets up and she storms out of church. She gets mad. She storms out of church after the service. Donna, being a good pastor's wife, she was going to go see if everything was okay. And she chewed Donna up one side and down the other. And then on top of that, she tells me, she said, "Hey, the pulpit is no place to be preaching what you're preaching. You're telling me that I shouldn't preach against the devil? I shouldn't preach against demons?" You know what happened? She had a granddaughter that was mixed up in the occult and this perverted, ungodly stuff. All the Dungeons and the Dragons, some of you remember, that was a big thing back in those days. And she was mixed up in all of that. And grandmother got mad because I was exposing it. What does the Bible tell me I'm to do? I'm to reprove. That is to expose. What I'm doing today is exposing the corruption and the abominations of the movie industry, of Hollywood and everything's on it. Hey, Harry Potter's not the only one. There are hundreds and thousands of others that are filled with violence, that are filled with sex, that are filled with pornography, that are filled with drunkenness, that is filled with dope, that is filled with everything, profanity, everything out there imaginable. I ask the question today, who has our children? Who has our children today? Is it Disney? Or does the doctrines of Christ have our children today? What's important? Is Disney important? You realize every June is Gay Pride Month at Disney? Do we support it? Do we promote it? With Hollywood, it's all about profit. It's not about prayer. It's about profit, money. With Hollywood, it's all about entertainment, not evangelism. With Hollywood, it's all about money and not morality. They could care less about the morality of our children, the morality of our culture, the decency of it. All they want is their money. Even today when they make perverted movies, like The Last Temptation of Christ that came out several years ago, and even The Passion of Christ, they don't portray the true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ there. They're not biblical. Why? Because they're in the entertainment business. They're in the money-making business. If it didn't make money, they wouldn't be doing it. To us, it boils down to a choice. Joshua made that choice. In chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods that your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah said to Ahab and the prophets of Baal, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow him." Our choice today as a church is either this: it's Hollywood or the house of God. It's Hollywood or the house of God. You remember when Jesus said, "Either you're for me or what? You're against me." There's no middle ground, folks. When it comes to the church, we have to take a stand. We have to take the right stand. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will despise the one and cleave to the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. The dangerous effects of TV and social media have over our lives today are startling. Let me read you here just a few. And I'm using this for good today. That's what I'm using it for good. You know, one of the good things about it is you can find a lot of good information, truthful information, very quickly. Listen to this, television statistics. According to the AC Nielsen Company, the average American watches more than 4 hours of television every day. 28 hours a week, or 2 months of nonstop television per year. In a 65-year lifespan, that person will have watched 9 years of television. How many of you are 65 years or older? Y'all have watched, most likely, 9 years of that 65 years you've sat there in front of the television. Hey, I'm there with you. I watch my share of it. Family life, percentage of households that possess at least one television. Anybody got an idea, percentage-wise, of how many households in America have at least one television? 99%. That means almost every home. If we've got 300 million people in America, what would that be? 300,000 that don't have televisions, but everybody else has televisions. My mathematics may not be correct. Number of TV sets in the average U.S. household is 2.4. I don't know where the 2.4, but at least two. Every household has at least two or three televisions. How many televisions do you have in your home? Ask yourself the question. Percentage of U.S. homes that have three or more televisions are 66%. Number of hours per day that TV is on in an average U.S. home are 6 hours and 47 minutes. Percentage of Americans that regularly watch television while eating dinner. Very seldom do you sit down at the dinner table with a family, with a husband and wife and children. No, you sit on the couch or at the bar or wherever, and you're watching television while you eat. What is the percentage there? 66%. Number of hours of TV watched annually by Americans are 250 billion hours annually by Americans. That sounds like our national debt. The value of that time assumed an averaged wage of $5 an hour equals to $1.25 trillion. Number of videos rented daily in the U.S. Daily. Got an idea? Videos? Netflix? All that other stuff? 6 million rented every day in America. Number of public libraries checked out daily, 3 million. Percentage of Americans who say they watch too much TV. At least they're honest, about 49% say they watch too much TV. Okay, listen to some of these statistics with our children. Approximate number of studies examining TV's effect on children were 4,000. Number of minutes per week that parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children. I'm talking about minutes. Meaningful conversation. How many minutes a day does a parent spend talking with their children meaningfully every day? 3.5 minutes. That's about, hello, how are you doing? What'd you do at school today? That's unbelievable, isn't it? Number of minutes per week that average child watches television. Minutes, 1,680. Percentage of daycare centers that use television during a typical day, 70%. Percentage of parents who would like to limit their children's TV watching, 73%. Why aren't they doing it then? Percentage of 4 to 6 year olds who, when asked to choose between watching TV and spending time with their fathers, preferred television, 54%. 54% of children had rather watch television than they had spend time with one of their parents. Hours per year the average American youth spends in school, 900 hours. Hours per year the average American youth watches television, 1,500 hours. Violence. Number of murders seen on TV by the time an average child finishes elementary school. 8,000 acts of violence that they've witnessed on television by the time they finish elementary school, sixth grade. Number of violent acts seen on television by the time they turn 18, over 200,000 acts of violence. Percentage of Americans who believe television violence helps the downfall of America or society. 79% of them say that they believe that it helps corrupt society. Commercials. Number of 30-second TV commercials seen in a year by an average child. 30-second TV commercials. An average child sees 20,000 30-minute or 30-second commercials in a year. I was reading in another article where a little two-year-old was sitting there watching television. And the mother shouts at the child and says, "Now, so-and-so, it's bedtime." And you know what the little girl said? The little girl turned around and said, "No, mother, it's not bedtime. It's Miller time." How sad. 2 years old. I wonder where she got Miller time. From television. Now here's some general facts here. Percentage of local TV news broadcast time devoted to advertising. 30% of TV news broadcasting is advertisement. Percentage devoted to stories about crime, disasters, and war. 53.8% of the time. Percentage devoted to public service announcements. Public service announcements. 0.7. Percentage of Americans who can name the Three Stooges. I like this one right here. Anybody name the Three Stooges? Stooges. Somebody tell me.
Joe, Kamala, and...
There we go. That's a good one. Curly, Larry, and Mo. Now somebody, and I know some of you can, somebody name me three Supreme Court justices. The majority of Americans can't do that. They can tell you the Three Stooges, but they can't name them. They can't name three Supreme Court justices. What does that tell you? That's just like when it comes to the Ten Commandments. We've got Christians that stand and say, hey, I support the Ten Commandments. And they can't even quote the Ten Commandments. What does that tell you? That reminds us of the influence that is taking control of this country and taking control of our churches. If having a television or using social media a sin? I answered that a moment ago. It's not a sin, but it can be a sin. It's one of those things that the writer of Hebrews says when he says, seeing then that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. A weight. That's something that hinders, something that weighs us down, something that prevents us. And yes, that television can consume our times. Get this, if you don't control it, it will control you. The same thing with this right here. It can be a good tool, but it will control you if you allow it to control you. Psalms 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The word turn aside means to lead astray. I won't let Hollywood, I won't let the movie industry, I will not let the television lead me astray. Nor will I let my cell phone and social media lead me astray. That's what it's saying here. I will set no, if I have to do away with it. Hey, if I have to, hey, we've got a friend of ours whose husband used to be a preacher. He came in one day. You know what he does? He comes in, takes the one-eyed monster. That's what Lester Roloff used to call it, the one-eyed monster. He takes the one-eyed monster, throws it out in the front yard, and takes an axe and chops it up. Maybe that's what we need to do. If we can't get control of it before it takes control of us, maybe that's what we need to do. That's why it's got a remote control and it has an on and off. Has a mute and a volume button, a television channel changer. It shall not cleave unto me. It won't stick to me. And what he's also said, I won't allow it to influence my life. Job chapter 31 verse 1, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We need to make a covenant with our eyes and be careful of what we see, what we watch. Psalms 119, verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Do you think what we see affects the way we live? It is an amazing statistic at the violence. Over 70% of people believe that the violence that we're seeing today has been influenced through the watching of television and social media. Over 70% believe that. But why has there not been any change? Why is there no regulations on Hollywood, California, and the movie industry? Why is there no regulations on the broadcasting networks of the garbage that they're putting out there? As long as they're making money, that's all that matters. Some of you may remember Al Gore when he was running for president back several years ago. And the big push that he was against the tobacco companies, because his sister was dying or had died of lung cancer because of her addiction to tobacco, to smoking. And he wanted to shut down the tobacco company. Hey, I'm 100% for it. If you want to shut down the tobacco industry, hey, I'll back you 100%. I'm against it when it comes to personal use of it. Spitting it, dipping it, smoking it, or whatever. I'm against it. Like Dr. J.C. Keller used to say, God created the tobacco for the tobacco worm, to feed that worm, not for us to use it in a corrupt way. But he wanted to shut down the tobacco companies. Do you know, and don't think I'm promoting it, do you know what kills more people than any other thing, especially in America, but worldwide? Alcohol. Why was he not trying to shut down the alcohol industry? Money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. I'm talking about things that are creeping into our church, into our churches. God is grieved at it. God is brokenhearted at what he sees that's coming into our churches every day. Sad to say. Do what we think? Do we think that what we see affects the way we act? Genesis chapter 13, the tragic story of Lot and the beginning of it. The Bible said that he looked upon the well-watered plains of Jordan. He looked. And we know what happened in the end. Lot's whole family was disrupted and destroyed. Where did David's downfall begin? When he saw Bathsheba bathing herself on the rooftop. He saw. What we see does affect what we think and the way we believe. Some questions we should ask ourselves. Why is television one of the biggest problems in our home life? Why is it one of the biggest problems in our home life today? It's because it controls us and we don't control it. Why is the cell phone today such a problem in our homes and in our families today? Because it controls us and we don't control it. There was a man here a couple of years ago that his wife started an illicit relationship with a man on this phone through the chat room conversations. It led to his family's destruction and his marriage destroyed. His wife at late night was going online, chit-chatting with whoever was out there. And most of the time when this is going on, it's when folks ought to be in bed and not up doing what they were doing. And that's where it began. His whole marriage was destroyed. Second question, as Christians, should we have a TV? Should we have a cell phone? Again, the answer is, it either controls you or you control it. If you can't control it, no, you don't need one. How are our children affected by it? We already know that they're influenced. Do you realize that there was an 8-year-old little boy molested his 5-year-old sister? And when asked how he learned what he was doing, he said, "I saw it on television." Reenacting what that child, 8 years old, molested his 5-year-old sister. Is there an advantage to having one in our homes? Is it beneficial? Is there a solution to the problem? Controlling it, yes, it is. or avoiding it. Does it adversely affect our living today? And the answer is yes. Now this right here is not, I did not come up with this, but I'll close with this. And the question is this, am I addicted to television or social media? Now a lot of people say, well, I'm not addicted. I've had people say, well, I'm not addicted to alcohol. If you gotta have a drink every day, you're addicted to alcohol. I've had people say, I'm not addicted to tobacco. If you gotta have a dip and a smoke every day, you are addicted to it. Am I addicted to television and social media? We're talking about the damage and the danger that it's doing in the local church and the enemy it is to the cause of Christ. Is it the first thing that I do each morning when I wake up? Do I go to the tube or do I go to the phone? Is that the first thing I do every morning? Second question, is there a daily routine with a device? Is there a daily routine with a device? Now, I didn't come up with this. Third question, we're talking about addiction to television or social media. Do you find yourself rejecting others' invitation or calls from other people to watch television or to surf the net? Fourth question, do you forfeit your rest and sleep for it? Do you stay up late at night? Do you get up early in the morning just so you can watch television or be on the web or on some of the communication networks? Fifth question, is mealtime focused around it? Sixth question, do I find myself preoccupied with it when I'm in the company of other people? When I've got family members visiting, or if I've got people coming to visit, or if I'm in a office environment or in a meeting, am I sitting there or watching television while my guests are sitting there talking? Can we not turn it off when we're entertaining guests? We're talking about addicted to TV and social media. Seventh question. I use it as a babysitter for my children. Many parents do that. It's easy. Just put a child in front of the TV and let them watch the colors and everything. You think it doesn't affect them even in their infancy when they're sitting there in their little pumpkin seats? You don't think it bothers? You don't think that affects what goes in? It does. Good question here. I object to the language and the value of its programs but I continue to support them. In other words, we know when it's wrong, but we continue to do it. We continue to use it. We continue to watch it. We continue to listen to it. And then the last question, do I spend more time watching TV or on social media than I do in the Lord's work? A lot of good questions there. Am I addicted to TV? Am I addicted to social media? Folks, this morning, I'm not saying that you got to carry your television sets out in the yard and chop it up with an axe. I'm not telling you that you have to unplug your television. I've got a television in my house. I've got two televisions. That's all I have. And Don and I both have a cell phone. I know how to turn them off. I know how to turn them on. I know how to turn the channel. That's what we must learn to do because of the influence, because what we watch becomes who we are. And that's what the problem is with it creeping into the church, because what we become as a result of what we see and hear affects the house of God, does it not? We wonder why all these things, the atmosphere, the attire, the attitude, the abominations and the addictions, we wonder why those things of the Hollywood industry have crept into our churches. It's because we've allowed it to creep in through us. Let's make a difference. Let's be a difference for God. Amen? Amen. Amen. We don't want to see families destroyed. We don't want to see lives destroyed. We don't want to see churches destroyed. We sang the song, My Hope is Jesus. Amen. I'm glad we've got a foundation in Jesus Christ that we can rest upon. He's our answer. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's our all. Trust Him today. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your good word as always. Thank You for liberty and preaching. Thank You, Lord, for strengthening my body this morning and allowing me to be able to stand before the congregation, Lord, to present what You've laid upon my heart. I pray, dear God, that it has been acceptable in Your sight. And Lord, as always, You know it wasn't my intent to upset, to offend, to make anyone mad, but Lord, to preach Your word. Everyone here and most everyone that may be listening by live stream or later on through the internet services of our church, Lord, they know that what I'm saying is the truth. They can see it, but sad to say, so many today are denying it. Denying it. They're deceiving themselves. I pray today that we would accept it as truth and that we would not be guilty of turning away our ears from truth today. But Lord, that we would acknowledge it and we would do what we can do, though small, but yet even small can make a difference. Lord, as people of Lighthouse Baptist Church, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. That's what this message, that's what this series is about, is making a difference. Of strengthening, drawing Your church back together. I pray now Your blessing upon this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?